Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Combox Live, where the game lives on, it never dies. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me is my good mate, Robert Henry Barron III. You can find him at Moso Judge on Twitter. And we are here to discuss the latest nightclub scandal that has rocked English cricket. Been a few of those, haven't they, Rob?
Yeah, stupid people will continue to do stupid things. That's something that's been proven throughout history. I mean, where do you want to start? Where do you want to start with this one?
I'll tell you exactly where I want to start. Yesterday, you and I are on a live show. We're reviewing the test match where England defeat New Zealand at Lord's. And in that live show, we're discussing Gus Atkinson. And Rob Barron is on record saying, Gus Atkinson's a really interesting character. He's not a lad's lad. And he's good to have around in the dressing room. Minutes later, Gus Atkinson finds himself in the middle of this scandal. So, yeah, that aged like milk.
Yeah, I got that one wrong. And this is the thing. One of the main focal points of all this is the PR machine that we've been fed from the outside. And Stokes has spent a lot of time and a lot of money on ensuring his PR machine present him in a certain way. He's completely fooled you, for example, Behram, and many others like you that have bought into this narrative that he's some kind of martyr, he's a complete legend, he's amazing at cricket. None of these things are true, right? He's not as good as everyone thinks he is at cricket. He's probably not a great person, judging by the evidence that has, you know, followed him around throughout his career. He's had many opportunities to pull the plug on the nonsense, and he has failed time and time again. And you would think at 35, as the captain of England, as a family man, as somebody who has had repeated warnings and missed important tours and World Cups and ODI series from his own nonsense, right? It's self-inflicted, all of these things that he's missed. You think at 35, he could find a way, having retired from drinking, he told everybody last year, he could find a way not to end up in a nightclub literally one game after they've imposed a curfew that says don't drink past midnight. And also, it's very easy if you want to get absolutely leathered, right? Because, you know, anybody is allowed to do that. Personally, I don't think England captain should be. While they're currently playing, you've got plenty of time for that when you retire, which may be within the next hour, may not be. Get drunk in your hotel bar. If you're the England cricket team, you can shut down any bar you want and no one will ever find out. And I dare say they've done that millions of times without anything getting out. But if they're intent on going out in public, as they were in Australia...
You're saying bars? They've shut down golf courses.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Of course.
You know what would fix this? Night golf. We really need night golf to counter nightclubs. And also, I have a question for you, and this is pure rage bait. Ben Stokes is 35 right now. Would he have been better off if at 25 he wrote himself a letter like Cam Bancroft?
Don't start me on that. I was going to say you don't have to do much to wind me up about this subject, but if you want me to talk about that Cameron Bancroft thing, that will make me incandescent with rage. Right. So what's happened here, we don't know. I think that is crucial. Not many people have come out today and said, we don't know what happened. We don't know what went on in the nightclub. What we do know, right, what we've been told and has been verified, is that Atkinson and Stokes is the number one least person, for want of a better expression, that should be there. Number one in the whole of England cricket. He should not be there. So he is there.
But, decided. Rob, I'll stop you right there. The last thing he said in the press conference was that I'll only truly be happy once I share a beer with my teammates.
Yeah,
I think maybe those beers with Gus Atkinson prompted them to, break the curfew and go out to the nightclubs.
Idiots. So they broke the curfew that was imposed on them because of previous...
Imagine this. Gus Atkinson is not a lad's lad, but he now wants to impress his skipper.
Maybe it's that, right? Atkinson, if you're out with the captain, your behaviour is being condoned by the man in charge. And also, this bit's interesting. They have... which Duckett wishes he had in Australia, they had an ECB security guy with them to make sure everything was all right. He's not done tremendously well at his job, let's be honest. First of all, he's allowed them to stay out till allegedly 3, allegedly 4, who knows what time. If you're 35 and you've got a wife and kids, being in a nightclub is not a good look, right? It's not a good life, I don't know, structure. It's not a good place to end up. Nightclubs are there for people who are either utter degenerates or people who are aged between 18 and 30, right? And if you're nearer 30, you're probably falling towards the bunch of losers that shouldn't be in the nightclub, right? So at 35, having been in trouble loads of times for doing stuff in nightclub, and I can guarantee that there is stuff that's happened that we have never found out about. I mean, I've got it on reasonable authority that there are plenty of things that we have never found out about the full story with current England players, including the captain. So when it comes out that something has happened, they cannot hide it, right? God knows they've tried. Harry Brook came out and lied and said, sorry for lying, I was just trying to protect everybody. He got fined £30,000. He's the next cab off the rank to be captain. That is ultimate hilarity if they manage to do that. But we're here to talk about Stokes, right? And I've been reasonably well publicised as not being president of the Stokes fan club. That is a role.
That's me. I'm president of the Stokes fan club.
That's where I am, right? So I think
that's why this combination makes sense for this podcast, because you've got a Stokes apologist with his biggest critic.
Yeah, I just think what doesn't sit well with me is that as England fans, we are consistently lied to, and this era of English cricket, the lads, McCullum, Stokes, Key, you know, triumvirate, have lied to English cricket fans throughout the entire process, throughout the whole thing. They've said, we don't care about any other cricket other than the Ashes. The Ashes is the biggest thing ever. Then they don't bother preparing for it. Then they lie about getting pissed. Then they lie about getting pissed again. Then they say there's no drinking culture. There obviously is. Whether or not people think that grown adults should be able to do whatever they want is a completely different conversation. But when you publicly come out and say, okay, we have to acknowledge this problem because you caught us for this one, then the Harry Brook thing, right? Then the Duckett thing, then the Noosa thing, then the, you know, bundles of cash falling out of their pockets while they're sat outside a pub in the middle of the series when they're getting battered. All of this is a bad look. So to then come out and say, right, we probably have to acknowledge some of this that has definitely happened has happened. And so what we're going to do is we're going to put them on the naughty boys list and say, you're not allowed to go out past midnight, right? That was one test match ago. Mm-hmm. So following a test match, which was a bit of a farce, that test on a pitch, which today they've come out and said was unsatisfactory. Stokes, who has publicly, the PR machine again, publicly retired from drinking alcohol, because as we all know, that's the source of a lot of problems for young men, then has also retired from going out past midnight. Stokes then says in his press conference after the win, thank God for that, I'm going to go and get pissed with the lads, basically is what he said. And then he did. Okay, fine. And at midnight, most of them went home, by all accounts. They went to a pub. Bad idea. People come up to you in pubs, ask loads of English sportsmen down the years how they've got on when they've gone out in public after sporting events. It doesn't usually end well. Anyway, they've gone to the pub. People have camera phones. Good idea. Absolutely not. Most of them went home at midnight or before midnight when the pubs chuck out. And these idiots decided that a nightclub was the right place to go. Mm-hmm. Then they have gone out with a bunch of rugby lads. Nobody should ever do that. Got plenty of friends who are rugby lads. All of them are idiots. And when they are together and they drink, stuff gets out of hand every time. So they've decided to follow these rugby lads around who are on some sort of jolly up, right? The rugby team. And it's kicked off in the club, which I think I read describes itself as Chelsea's naughtiest nightclub. Hmm. Now, if you're 35 years old, then you don't go to Chelsea's naughtiest nightclub, right? I've had the misfortune of being in nightclubs in Chelsea, and they are shit, just like all the other ones in the world. But because I'm 43, I haven't been to a nightclub for many years, and I don't intend to go to one ever again because, you know, I'm a grown adult. Unfortunately, the current lot don't seem to have any grown adults making any decisions or taking part in the cricket team, not a single one of them. So then punches are thrown because they're out with a group of rugby lads, and that's what happens when they get drunk. And the security man, who has not covered himself in enormous glory with all this, has taken a punch right in the kisser, apparently, that was intended for either Atkinson or Stokes or both. And yeah, so some sort of melee
I'll
ensues,
give you
right?
the lowdown. The official word is that, and this is how they've been kind of reporting it, right? I think I read Nick Holt's piece for The Telegraph,
okay,
where Stokes and Gus apparently weren't the aggressors, and there is a rugby club called Saracens, right?
Yeah.
21-year-old academy player Totoa Auvu. I hope I've got the pronunciation correct, right? So he throws a punch which is aimed at Gus Atkinson.
Okay.
He misses Gus, gets the security guard, who is then, you know, injured and requires to be stitched up. And that's how everything goes about. So Gus and Stokes weren't aggressors, but we also have no knowledge of whether further punches were thrown or not. We do know that the police is not involved in this. That's one relief, I suppose, for all parties involved, that at least this is not going to be, you know, something which is going to be dealt with in court. But there's also some reports from the rugby union that this player, Totoa, has a bit of a reputation. And I think the source also said that he would hate to see the England captain lose his job over this.
Sure.
But my issue is not the actual brawl. I mean, it is a bit of an issue given how frequently Ben Stokes finds himself in this position. But very recently, English cricket culture was under the radar, under the scanner. Rob Key pretended like they don't drink at all. And he was like, oh yeah, if they have like a couple of pints or a glass of wine when they're out, that's fine. But they shouldn't be getting pissed. Well, we know that they do get pissed. We know that they mid-tour plan vacations. If they're in India, they'll go to Dubai. If they're in Australia, there's a Noosa trip just to get hammered. And then also, when you have stated that there's a curfew, it takes them one game to go and break it. If this was a one-off, I would have no issues. This has come as a trend now.
Yeah.
And it's become exactly that. And that's why I feel like Stokes' job might be untenable. I know people have opinions on this. And I actually rate him as a leader. I know you do as well. He's a better captain than Root, for instance. But it's the part where this continues to happen over and over again. I mean, if we do a count, a quick count, right? Wellington, where it was Harry Brook and Bethel, if I'm not wrong, right? You got Noosa. And then let's not forget all those previous instances where Ben Stokes has gotten himself into a bar brawl. The mind goes back to that incident where he punched someone with Alex Hales over there and that got pretty ugly. So this is a recurring theme, and that's where I find the biggest problem to be.
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
Well, it's so firstly, whatever comes out of this that we are told by the ECB and the England side of events, I will not believe, okay? Because I have been fed stuff which has subsequently been proved to be lies from these people. So, you know, fool me once and all that. I will not believe anything that comes out from their side of the story, just as I didn't believe Stokes' side of the story after the nightclub incident at, what the hell was that club called? Embargo.
Right. I've got to go to Embargoes now. You know what we should do? Rob, you and I should come up, or we should partner up with some tourism company, and we should do a pub crawl, and we hit all those spots where English cricketers have got into trouble. But we'll need like a proper chartered flight to go to Wellington, Noosa, Bristol, London.
I mean,
you know,
Noosa sounds
it's
nice.
Quite a long list.
Noosa sounds nice. I don't want to go to any other places. But when that happened, the PR machine went into full swing, and we were fed a very different account of events from what was subsequently proven, said in court. He obviously, being the man that he is, has an amazing defense team to help manipulate the truth and present various scenarios which probably didn't happen, and it like conveniently ignore things that definitely did happen. Now, I've watched the videos that were released. I've watched the whole 15 minutes of him being in the police car. Now, what happened then? Owen Morgan was part of the setup subsequently from that fracas that night, and Strauss was in charge of English cricket at the time, and they basically thought that Stokes had enough cricket potential to keep his place around the setup despite various suspensions. He obviously missed an Ashes tour because of it. They conveniently banned him for the exact number of games that he missed through the injuries that he sustained, and the length of the trial.
He missed an event somewhere in between where he punched a locker.
No, that was before.
This.
So before he was sent home. So if you want the whole timeline, right? So he got in, why not? So 2011, it was the first time he got in trouble with the police. He was arrested and not charged, right? So that can happen to any young man who has been out on the piss. What Stokes reminds me of is like in England, like your worst mate. Like everyone's got a mate that is trouble on a night out. And they consistently find ways to get them into trouble. The difference between my mates and normal people's mates is that Ben Stokes is the captain of England at cricket. So there are sacrifices you must make. Like my idiot mates don't have to make the sacrifices that Ben Stokes should be making. You know, as a father and as a husband, there are certain scenarios you don't get yourself into when you become those things if you want to perform those roles responsibly. So anyway, 2011, he gets a slap on the wrist for doing naughty things when he's drunk. Okay, fine. Loads of people have done that. No judgment here. Like, absolutely fine. 2013, he is removed from a Lions tour, right, for flouting the laws or the rules of going out and getting pissed and training and all that. So he didn't perform his duties properly because he was too concerned about going out and getting pissed, right? Very similar thing happened to Ricky Ponting early in his career. You know, punter Ponting went out, got pissed, got hit in the face, was told in no uncertain terms, if he went down that road, he probably wouldn't end up being a great of cricket. And Ricky Ponting put his drinking and most of his gambling aside and became one of the best cricketers of all time and probably the best cricketer he could have been, Ricky Ponting, right? So fair play to him. He made sacrifices, sacrificed the lifestyle that he liked to become a great of cricket. Ben Stokes was sent home from Lions Tour in 2013. 2014, 1 year after this, Stokes gets angry that he got dismissed and he punches a locker because he has publicized self-admitted anger issues, right? He punched a locker, he broke his hand. His hand is still in very bad shape. He's had multiple operations on this hand, some of which have stopped him playing cricket. He then missed the World Cup. He missed the World T20 in 2014 because he punched a locker. He then went through a load of bad form, possibly because he was injured, possibly because he had stuff going on. He then missed 2015 World Cup because he didn't get picked. Then he gets in trouble, some like very minor driving thing, can happen to any human being, absolutely fine. He gets in a bit of trouble for calling someone a four-eyed, worst word in the world, a member of the crowd that was picked up by the stump mics, gets in a bit of trouble for that. So trouble is following this guy around, and then the Bristol thing happens. And the spin after that, Bayram, was atrocious. You know, this what Hales did in all of that, right? He can't get through this podcast without getting a mention, is he kept running in and out of Stokes whacking people on the floor. A, he was trying to stop Stokes from hitting people. That's fair. But he also ran in and kicked people in the head who were lying on the floor, right, multiple times. He then, this isn't allegedly, right? There's video of this. Then, when the police get there, Hales runs up and goes, "Hi, do you need me?" And they went, "Well, were you there?" And he goes, "No, I wasn't there. I had nothing to do with it. I've just come to see if my mate's all right." Well, that's a lie. Then he runs away, and then he comes back and goes, "Just to confirm, is my mate okay?" He's basically saying to Stokes, "I want to get off. I don't want any part of this. I'm going." So he somehow gets away scot-free with the law, right? Which he shouldn't have done based on the evidence, the overwhelming evidence that was there. But Owen Morgan, because of Hales' character, nothing to do with his cricketing ability, which was off the charts in white ball, said, "We don't need this character around. We can afford to still have a World Cup winning squad and not have Hales in it because this guy is bad news," right? He was like, "Well, we've got Bairstow, we've got Jason Roy, we've got Butler, we're going to be fine," right? They thought Stokes deserved another chance. Hales was booted out of the setup for multiple bad human efforts, right? There's you know, some of those, I've seen some of those Snapchats he was sending around, that appalling stuff. Not to forget Stokes's dreadful impression of a disabled child that went, you know, was put in the newspapers and stuff. Like he's had that one swept under the carpet. So anyway, after this awful, awful decision making to A, B in embargoes, you know, as a 20-year-old, if you end up in embargoes, you've done it wrong as an English lad, right? You've done it wrong. If you're potential England captain, or he was vice captain, I think, at the time, you don't end up there. You just don't do it. That's a sacrifice you have to make if you want the best job in English cricket, right? So then it's the spell of on the sidelines for various reasons. Then it's it ultimately gets time off for mental health, which I think.
And that's when the documentary comes out as well, right? The Amazon doc. He loses his father. Very emotional documentary. I loved it. I thought of chopping off my ring finger after it.
Yeah. Some of us are more, I don't know, amenable to such. I mean, directed by Sam Mendes, right? He got one of the best directors in the world of film to do a documentary about him. Now, some people would be more sympathetic about time off for mental health if they weren't getting paid to have a documentary crew follow them around and be filmed for a documentary about how tough the world is as an elite sportsman getting paid millions of pounds to play cricket. But that's not for me to say, Bayram, right? So then, anyway, he becomes England captain, and I really liked his captaincy, having had most of my cricket watching life been shouting at the TV or shouting from the ground, saying, why the hell are you being so negative and so defensive and spending all your time trying not to lose instead of trying to win? I loved the fact that when he came in as captain, he was like, sod that. The draws aren't going to happen anymore. We're going to try and win every time. And if that means we risk losing a bit more, then so be it. That's fine. Brilliant. Well behind that. Because he's in with McCullum, who is a bad gambler in the literal sense, by all accounts, they don't understand how to do things like declarations, and they've made some awful ones that have made them much less likely to win the game and bringing the other team's odds in a lot. So they don't understand it. But the ideas behind his captaincy, some of the field stuff was back to Michael Vaughan, some of the aggressive cricket of let's take this game forward, let's take it to the other team. I love all of it, right? They went way too far.
Dangling of the carrot on certain occasions, right. Although that has bit them in the arse as
no,
well.
No, they've stabbed themselves in the eye with the carrot rather than dangling it, you know, declaring on the first day of the bloody Ashes test at home, the idiots. But
I think the declaration in Rawalpindi was a good one, right? The Edgbaston one, not so much.
Edgbaston was pure and utter lunacy. The Rawalpindi one, the New Zealand one, where England lost by one run, was madness. And
But Rob, that was a favour to cricket, right? They made it watchable. It's all about entertainment. And in this tenure of Ben Stokes and Baz McCullum, look, their cricket has been watchable. I'll give them that,
absolutely.
Right? I have certainly tuned in every single time. But they haven't won an Ashes, and they make everything about the Ashes. They don't acknowledge the World Test Championship at all. That's not a thing for them. Then there are all of these off-field incidents. There's the drinking culture. There is the partying culture, the golf culture. And then in the midst of all of this, Ben Duckett couldn't even learn how to use Uber. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's interesting that Ben Duckett was hung out to dry. And, you know, he shouldn't be stumbling around in the middle of nowhere, not knowing where he is. If you are employing people on good money to look after the England cricket team, right? That's one thing they do have, is loads of money. So Stokes had somebody looking after him, ostensibly, him and Atkinson, who failed in his job and got a whack in the face for his troubles. Who knows what happened? That's the thing that I want to say about this event. No one knows what happened. I can almost guarantee, based on all the evidence over many years of this bunch of clowns, that they are a lot more to blame than we will be told, right? That there is no... I have been out almost definitely more than any member of the England cricket team. At least I certainly hope so. I used to go out constantly when I was a young man, and having failed in my attempt to become a sportsman through a combination of lack of talent, for one, and lack of discipline, I understand the sacrifices you must make. I was not willing to make those sacrifices. And spoiler alert, I didn't become an athlete of any note, right? Again, the lack of talent was a major part of that.
Great catcher of the ball. 95% efficiency.
I can catch the ball. Anyway, the England cricket team weren't able to make those sacrifices and stay out of the pub and stay out of places that were going to get them into trouble. So I've been out a million times, thousands of times in my life, to pubs. And when I was in my 20s or late teens, I went to lots of nightclubs. At university, I probably went to a nightclub four nights a week. And I have been involved in zero melees, zero. I have not thrown a punch. I have not been punched in the head. And God knows there are people watching this that would like to punch me in the head. But I have not been punched in the head, because as a human being, there is some sort of brain trigger or self-defense mechanism, whatever you want to call it, that stops you from getting into situations that may get you arrested or killed, right? And Stokes could have killed the guy. So Stokes took 35 paces forward outside the Bristol nightclub and he was hitting people very hard in the head. He's a really strong man who trains an awful lot, Ben Stokes, and he's a big person as well. With people holding their hands up saying, please don't hit me in the head, he was landing massive haymakers in their head. That can kill somebody, Behram. If you fall over and hit your head on the curb, there have been lots of people who have lost their lives when that's happened. So surely, when you have a huge PR team at great expense around you, trying to, me, Robbie, Deepak and Jared did a thing about Stokes last week about what is his legacy and what could it be. And we spoke about how much he puts into the PR of sweeping all the things I've mentioned utterly under the carpet and concentrating on the highlight reels of his incredibly lucky innings that have got England over the line in three or four big moments. If you have all this PR, surely after that Bristol thing, and you've got a missus and kids and all the rest of it, and you've got lots of people that are willing you to succeed, right? The team is entirely behind him. That is a huge plus for his captaincy, is that the troops go to war for Stokes. I mean, they haven't because they've been too drunk a lot of the time, but they are definitely behind the man, right? And he has put himself in a situation again where it could all kick off, and that is entirely his own decision. That is, nobody is coercing him to go into the nightclub. I very much doubt the security guy, who presumably his job is to make sure they don't go out after midnight, if that's the rules. You know, it's not for me to say rules should be, but they are the rules, right?
I don't know how stringent the ECB is with this new curfew, right? It goes without saying that, you know, once you are done with your job, your personal life is your personal life. But again, I'll come back to the whole trend part, where this is a regular occurrence and they've gotten themselves into trouble more often than not. But what is it, Rob, with generational pace bowling all-rounders who play for England? Is it a prerequisite to be a bad boy? Do you have to get hammered? Is it like a baptism by alcohol that you have to go through?
Well,
because we've seen it with Beefy, we've seen it with Freddie, and we've seen it with Stokesy now.
So
the only thing Stokesy hasn't done is piss on the MCG pitch.
Different eras, right? So when Botham was playing, most of them are getting leathered all the time, according to all the books that I've read about the players that played. You know, I've read several of Botham's teammates have released books. I've read them all. And they all basically go on about how much fun it was going out and getting belted, right? So some of them had very bad health repercussions from that. We've lost a couple of the players, you know, since those days. Botham is, and when I was young, it was considered an utter and complete legend, for a bit like people like Maradona, by being physically able to get absolutely blind drunk and drink till 6 o'clock in the morning. Shane Warne was another one who was able to do it. Get up.
Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah.
Paul Gascoigne is a very famous
get up and then perform at the absolute highest level. These are freaks of human nature, right? It's nearly impossible to do that unless you have a talent that is, you know, freakish. Botham did it. And the culture of cricket back then was very much everybody gets drunk all the time, right? That's what they all did. By the time Flintoff was being brought up, that was still going on, 90s, late 90s. They were still all doing that. And he was unable to put his natural want for going out on the lash to one side and ended up being stripped of the captaincy because he did something way less bad than any of this. He never got in trouble for bashing people in the head. He got in trouble for getting drunk and going on a pedalo, right? Which let's face it, is really funny, is something that could happen to anybody that was out drinking. It's funny. The today's culture, right? And there's lots of people saying, well, let boys be boys and all that. Boys can be boys. But if you're the captain of the England cricket team, you can't be a boy that goes to nightclubs and bashes people in the head and gets involved in melees. You can't. That's not allowed. You can't do that.
Also, I just want to add over here that, yes, I've heard a lot of people make this case that, look, ultimately it was just a broken curfew. Stokes and Gus weren't the aggressors. Surely you can do something to not land yourself in that situation as well, right? Like, there's got to be some level of responsibility because you guys are professional sports people and one of them is the captain of England. So you've got to be a bit more aware. And as Rob said earlier in the show, I mean, you are the England cricket team. You can close a bar down. You can keep that bar open for you. No one would bat an eyelid, but you want to do it in public. So that's another choice.
So one of the mantras of the England cricket team is run towards the danger. And that can apply on the field sometimes, but it shouldn't apply in the nightclub, right? If there's danger happening, there should be obviously and without unequivocally the personnel of the team, the playing 11, aren't smart enough to keep themselves from running towards that danger. So if they are going to go out in an era where almost everything you do is recorded by somebody, then they should have an adequate team looking after them to ensure that if Mr. Rugby player, who's on a night out with the rugby team, is getting leathered and getting a bit leery, they exit stage left. They don't run onto the stage going, shall we get involved with this scrap? Like, what's the, like, when you're leathered.
But then again, you also have to take into account that this is the story that we've been told, that they weren't the aggressors,
yeah, maybe,
they weren't the ones to throw the punch. We don't know what exactly went down. I am quite certain that there's a lot more to the story than what we have been told.
Like I say, Bayram, I've been out lots of times and newsflash, I have been drunk on several occasions in the past while I've been in pubs and nightclubs, and there have been aggressive people. I've been out when loads of rugby teams have been out, and when when there's loads of danger, I don't take part. I go, no, thank you. I don't want to be hit in the head. I don't want, if this person is antagonizing me, I will take myself out of this situation and go to a different pub or go home. Like they are really obvious options to me. Now, these people can't do it. For whatever reason, they can't do it. Harry Brooke couldn't do it. Stokes has now not been able to do it on two extremely famous occasions. And I dare say quite a few others that have been covered up. So
is the only option from here to make Shoaib Bashir England's next test skipper, right? Because he's the one with no history and he's the guy who shouldn't even be playing every test match or any test match, some people would argue. But if you go through that team, right, the one that played versus New Zealand, Emilio Gay, first test, get him out of there, right? He's not a candidate. Ben Duckett doesn't know how to call an Uber. And then you've got Jacob Bethel and Harry Brooke, who had that incident in Wellington. Ben Stokes is obviously there. Root hates captaincy. Who else have we got? Ollie Robinson is Ollie Robinson. So he's in a category of his own. Jamie Smith too young. Josh Tung. I can't remember if he's ever gotten himself into trouble. Might have. And I think that's it, right? Have I missed someone?
I don't think so. So basically, what they need is not a school teacher type who says drinking is terrible and you people must be clocking into your hotel room with this particular card at 10 p.m. and lights out by 5:30, right? They don't need that. But they need someone that isn't enabling this behavior, which is what Key and McCollum have done. Mm. They've enabled this behavior.
True.
And encouraged it.
One of those two people probably needs to lose their job as well if Stokes is removed from captaincy, which, by the way, just to confirm for everyone, our sources are telling us that Ben Stokes is going to step down as England's captain because, you know, behind the scenes, the ECB are saying either you step down or we are making you step down. So take the easier route over here. We don't know as of now whether or not Stokesy will retire from all cricket. That might just be a rumor. There's still no clarification on that front. I hope that doesn't happen because all things said and done, I will still really enjoy Ben Stokes playing cricket. It's something that I like to do, right? And maybe we can separate the art from the artist, but there's a reason why I've loved him all these years. It's less to do with his character and more to do with the actual cricket that he can display on a field. So do you think that it is justifiable to A, remove him from the captaincy? Because I think there are enough grounds over here and the ECB are probably pretty embarrassed. And B, do you think he's going to retire?
So my understanding of the situation, and we must use the word allegedly here, is that Stokes has been told, if you don't hand in your captaincy, we will remove you from the captaincy. And Stokes has, as he always does in these situations, ran off to the PR team and found out, or is in the process of finding out, what the best thing for him to do to cement his legacy, which is very important to him, of how he is perceived by the British and wider public, right? I'm very confident that that is happening. Must use the words allegedly, because we don't know that's happening, but it probably is. Should he be removed as captain? Probably yes, because he was removed as vice captain for doing something worse, but along the same lines, going out to a nightclub when he shouldn't have been there and getting leathered and getting into trouble, right? So he's now setting an awful example to he's supposed to be the senior guy or one of the two or three senior guys in the whole setup, right? He's 35 now. He's clearly had his troubles in the past and he's proven once again that he is not capable of holding a position of responsibility. So I think losing the captaincy is fair, right? It's a reasonable sanction for what he's done. If you want to ban him for a game, fine. Again, we don't know what went on. So anybody that being sanctimonious and saying this must happen, we don't really know what happened. But
Also, allegedly, we know this as well, that there will be a two-game suspension for both of Gus Atkinson and Ben Stokes. Now, that would mean that they'd miss the rest of the or remainder of the New Zealand series. But is there a future for Ben Stokes in Test cricket beyond that? I think there is.
Yeah.
And some people are saying that his cricketing ability is vastly overrated. Look, I'm not saying he's the best all-rounder ever, pace bowling all-rounder ever, but in his generation, he's definitely the best pace bowling all-rounder. That, I don't think, is up for debate. It's just a shame from someone who loves to watch him play, just to see that he hasn't really understood the responsibility that comes with this job. And that's where I'm really livid with it.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
So we spoke about, I mean, we can argue that, but we're not going to argue that, whether he's the best pace bowling all-rounder or not. But yesterday,
in Test cricket, surely.
Yesterday, we're not going to argue that now, Baron. But yesterday, I said that his place is not a certainty based on his cricketing ability right now. He's in bad form, this guy. He stank the ashes out by playing a brand of cricket that was the opposite of what was expressed that they were going to do. He had the worst strike rate and didn't get any runs. So to fast forward to this, I think the one thing he has been good at is the captaincy. Like, and he's had certain periods where he's been in really good form and he's been brilliant at cricket. And that's what England fans want, right? Is the brilliant cricket version of Stokes and the good captain.
Yeah.
He kind of has to be stripped of the captaincy now for this latest misdemeanor. And if he's not the captain, and he definitely can't set an example to the younger group who are now following, worse than that, they're following in his footsteps and getting themselves into trouble in nightclubs with bouncers. And like, my God, should he have been able to set an example? Because it's one thing to say to young people, don't do this. Young people throughout history, including us, including everyone ever, don't listen to older people telling them to behave themselves when they're young. But if somebody who is the captain of England says, listen, lads, I nearly lost everything. I nearly lost the whole lot. I was having real bad personal struggles with it. The press went after me. However you want to spin it, it was awful. And it was all down to me being stupid by going to pubs and clubs when I shouldn't have been while I was playing. There is so much time to go to the pub and the clubs if you're that way inclined when you retire. You can retire at 38 if you want, a multi-millionaire, and spend the rest of your days in the pub if that's how you want to do it. So there's no need to do it when you're playing. He could have set this example. He didn't. Now, either he didn't want to, or he's not
completely
capable.
Unrelated. I don't want to piss on 35-year-olds who want to get leathered in a nightclub, but I'm 32. The last time I went to a nightclub, I was probably in my mid-20s. You could go to a bar, you could book a bar. Yeah. You're also like a family man. You need to think about those things beyond the captaincy. It feels rather strange that a 35-year-old would find himself at a nightclub to begin with. And I mostly agree, or pretty much completely agree with what you're saying in terms of whether he should be stripped off his captaincy or not. But for the sake of the show, I'll play devil's advocate. I'll play the English media person who wants him to continue, okay? So, Rob, ultimately, it was just a broken curfew. They weren't the aggressors. You know, Gus and Stokes didn't throw the first punch. The rugby player has a bit of a reputation of, starting brawls and whatnot. And also, Stokes has no obvious replacement because Harry Brook would probably be a big step down as captain, and he's not someone to school anyone on discipline either. How would you counter me?
I'd say, when you say the rugby player has a bit of a reputation for trouble, I say, do you know who else has a reputation for trouble? And that's Ben Stokes, right? And then I would read the rap sheet out, as I've already done here, so I'm not going to do it again, and say these are the things that he has definitely done. And considering how much time and money he spends on his positive PR, to have that rap sheet that is in a matter of public record does not make him look good. Because what that makes me think is, if somebody is spending fortunes on the PR machine, including having Sam Mendes, like a proper film director, doing a documentary.
Hey, I mean, that's
you,
a good documentary.
Amazon, right?
That scene where he's running on the beach, come on, man. How can you not like that?
It's no Rocky 3, is it? Or
I'm just rage baiting you. But look, I think the PR machinery is definitely there. And I'm not saying that this guy is complete trash, but you've got to learn from your mistakes, for crying out loud. How have you not managed to do that at 35 years of age?
Also, in England, we have, firstly, if you're a public figure, particularly a sporting one, the press do their absolute best to tear you down. And I think Stokes has done quite well to spin that the other way, and has actually, you know, stories have been spun in a way that doesn't make him look awful. It makes him look like he's been some kind of hero in scenarios that really don't make him look good on the face of it, right? So that's fine. I agree with what you said about the being 35 and ending up in nightclubs thing. There's loads of ways you can have a good time at 35 without ending up there.
Exactly. Like, for instance, whenever I come to England, and hopefully that happens soon enough, you and I are getting leathered one day, but we're not going to embargoes, are we?
No, we're not. We're, you know,
or the dirtiest club, the dirtiest nightclub in Chelsea. We're not going there either. We're probably going to be in Jared's backyard playing some drunk cricket.
Right, exactly. And you know, the hotel bar is ample for any 35-year-old, you know, husband and father, right? It's fine. You don't need to seek the danger out. Anyway, I can see him. What I don't want to happen is that this all ends with the dummy being spat out very firmly and saying, look, if you're telling me I'm not going to be captain anymore, then I'm taking my bat and my ball home and I'm not playing cricket ever again. That would be a rubbish end to the Ben Stokes saga. It would be a rubbish end. And there's a bit at the end of Landman, right, where Billy Bob says he's basically offered a field to stud in, or, you know, he's out to pasture. He's basically, the company that you're running now is, you've been removed from. I will offer you a really cushy job on millions a year, and all you have to do is chill out. And he turns around and he goes, I think I've got one more home run in me, right? And then he starts another company and blah, blah, blah. And I think, as the cricketer, despite what I say about Ben Stokes, I'm not totally one-eyed, he probably has got one more home run in him as a cricketer. He probably has got one more.
Surely.
Like I've said a lot, he's not a great fielder, but he does great catches. He's not a great batsman, but he has great innings. He's not a great bowler, but he has great spells. I think he's got one more game where he wins a match from nowhere for England, whether that be in a test match or not, I don't know.
But
why limp out the back door now?
He's an exclusive test player at this point. He doesn't really feature in white ball cricket. But look, it would be such a tragic end if he retires, because surely he would want to, as someone who cares so much about his public image, he would want to finish on a high. And there might just be enough juice left in those knees and that crooked hand that he can probably play till the home ashes, right? And that's probably the best time to sign off. But I don't know how much backdoor politics is also going on, because Baz's job is also on the line over here as the enabler. I don't think they're going to sack Rob Key. I think he's probably going to retain his position. So maybe we get to see Stokes resign and Baz leave. Maybe we only get to see Stokes resign. It would be an absolute shame if we see Stokes retire from Test cricket or all of cricket in these circumstances, because he is someone who, you know, is a moments cricketer. And I know Varun somewhere will be laughing right now, but that's what he is.
He is, yeah.
He wins moments, and then he can be clutch in those moments and win you big things like the Headingley Test or the ODI World Cup Final or the T20 World Cup Final. Even if he got lucky, and I know you're going to counter me with that.
Well, he did.
He still gets his team over the line, right? And that shows you the character of the
there
man.
There is nothing...
The character of the player, cricketer, the character of the man is a separate conversation right now.
One thing that I learned very early in life is you must be able to separate, as you said earlier, the art from the artist, right? And it's okay to love Paul Gascoigne, the footballer. If you love Paul Gascoigne, the man, like he's been hung out to dry by the press and there are reasons behind it or whatever, but some of the stuff he's done is deplorable. Similarly,
well, I could counter that he was protected by the press for the longest time. That, oh, Gazza was an alcoholic. Otherwise, what a great,
No, they caused a lot of the alcoholism by tapping his phone and lying about stuff that only his family could have known about and sending him paranoia and all the rest of it. Anyway, it's not about Paul Gascoigne. You could also, I don't personally think there's anything wrong with enjoying the music of Michael Jackson, for example. He is undeniably very good at making music. However, should you pin your colours to the mast of Michael Jackson, the human being? Probably not, right? Probably not. We're separating the art from the artist. One thing I would
say just opened an entirely new can of worms. Now the Michael Jackson fans and the haters will flood the comment section. But yes, I understand what you're saying.
If he does retire now, right, it probably isn't the end of the story, because he has retired before and unretired from a different format. He retired and then conveniently unretired, as I told everybody he would, just before the World Cup, and said, actually, what I retired for was these noble human reasons, and I'm a tremendous upstanding servant of England, and I wouldn't be serving the country properly if I had to play in all these bilaterals, blah, 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 blah. And then he magically got better and changed his mind and was okay to play in the World Cup, where they went, please play in the World Cup. You're our savior. You're a legend, right? So if he does step down, I think he's done well today not to immediately react and be posting on social media and stuff, these lot have hung me out to dry, that's the last time I'm off. But I think because he's so entrenched in the PR machine of himself, he is now taking advice. It will come to a head probably within the next 24 hours and something will be said. He would be mad to think, and so would his PR team, more importantly, to think that there should be no sanction for what has happened. Whatever it is that has happened, the very first game after a curfew, again, it's not for me to say whether that curfew is a reasonable course of action for fully grown men, that they must be home by midnight. I think it's nonsense personally, but who cares? There is one, and they publicised it. He then said, right, this is the whole being lied to as a fan thing again, right? The fans who must pay fortunes of money to watch this cricket team, 150 quid to go and watch them play in a two-day rain-affected test match, essentially, without Jofra Archer playing because they've allowed him to go on holiday. The fans are then Ben Stokes is saying, right, I'm behaving myself now. I don't drink anymore, and we're all home by midnight, right?
Why do you say that?
He says, well, I can't wait to go and get belted with the lads now. Because it's been a really tough few months of not doing any work.
You need to be aligned as far as your narrative is concerned, both board and captain and team members. And, you know, I see some friction over there. I don't know who it's between. Maybe Baz and Stokes have some friction after the Ashes. Maybe it's Rob Key with Baz and Stokes. Or maybe it's some other combination. Where's Richard Gould at? Why haven't we had a statement? Why isn't there anything official out there when every single outlet in the English media is saying that Ben Stokes allegedly will step down? Why is this not official yet? Or why is some no? Or why isn't any senior person coming and saying something about this? Are they trying to brush something under the carpet right now? Are they trying to see if this dies down? Do they want to see what the reaction is from the public? I don't know.
Yeah. What tends to happen with these things is England cricket team, ECB, whatever, only allow enough information to come into public vision as what exists at that particular moment, right? They don't offer any more information that happened. The stuff that is their bang to rights and definitely happened and they were out and there was a melee and punches were thrown and somebody did require stitches, right? They would admit everything that has already been said out loud and they would admit nothing else. And what they're probably doing is waiting for somebody to, I mean, the guy that filmed the Stokes belting the hell out of those two lads outside embargoes, he sold... Idiot, he sold the footage to The Sun, you know, one of the worst publications morally ever, for £3,000, right? The Sun would have definitely paid him 30 and probably would have paid him 100. And they would have made millions from then owning the rights to that video, which is now being watched multiple times because of what has happened here, right? I guess they're waiting for, it's very hard to be in the naughtiest club in Chelsea and someone hasn't got their mobile out. Right, I would be surprised if somebody, even though they're all loaded in Chelsea anyway, I'd be surprised if somebody doesn't fancy making 30 grand off 20 seconds of grainy footage of whatever this melee was, because I guarantee you that Joe Public, the normal human that is out in these, you know, rubbish clubs in Chelsea, doesn't want any part of Ben Stokes versus Big Rugby Man, right? Nobody wants to be in the middle of that. So there were probably people filming stuff on their phones, Bayram. Like, no one's considered this.
You know, I can still imagine Ben Stokes versus Big Rugby Man, and maybe the last step of Ben Stokes's bar brawl evolution is for him to take on an ice hockey man. But I cannot imagine Gus Atkinson versus Big Rugby Man.
Well, I wouldn't. So I don't know anything about Gus Atkinson.
Clearly you know nothing about Gus Atkinson.
One thing I do know about Gus Atkinson is I wouldn't want to take a right-hander off him, right? And nor would I of Saracen's rugby team. Thank you very much. If I keep talking on this podcast, eventually I will get a right-hander from somebody in the ECB. However, right, joking aside, they've done stupid stuff. They've publicly undermined themselves. They are hypocrites. They are liars. These are facts, right? They're hypocrites. They're liars. They are not accountable for their own actions. And once again, they waited for something to become public. And now they're scurrying around behind the scenes. As we're talking now, they're scurrying around behind the scenes to do the damage limitation stuff. Unfortunately, I would guess the average England cricket fan, which I kind of am one, right? Even though I talk about and bet on and work in cricket, have probably had enough now with all the lies and all the nonsense. It requires hands up. You know, it's to some extent, it's funny that Brendan McCullum can be paid £1 million a year and have a 6-month holiday during that, right? So he's just been paid £500,000 to not do anything, right? And he was interviewed just before the start of this series against New Zealand, where he hasn't done anything for 6 months. And they said, "Have you done anything?" And he basically went, "No." And he's like, "Well, I've watched a bit of the streams of some county cricket." No, he didn't. Like, no chance. But check his search history. Absolutely no chance he did that. But let's say he did and he watched a couple of hours of cricket. That's less than 100% of the people that are paying £150 to go and watch that test match. So he's not preparing. He's not bothered. He's on holiday. He's mucking about. Surely at some point, the cricket watching public have had enough of this and just go, what we really want is the best 11 to be fielded and them all try hard and none of them be hung over and none of them be mucking about off the field. Because as people that pay the 150 quid, we're the ones that have the right, if we want to go out and get leathered. And most people of 35 who are married with kids don't choose that option. You know, that's not the right answer. Yeah. Some do, and that is a man or a woman's right to choose whatever they want to do, right? But most people would think that's probably not the right answer to go out with the rugby lads to the naughtiest club in Chelsea, right? That sounds like a rubbish night out, doesn't it? It sounds really shit.
Also, I mean, everyone in this situation, all parties should thank their lucky stars that the police is not involved, right? We have that confirmation because this could have gotten far more ugly had that been the scenario. But ultimately, just to close things off, because I think we've ranted for quite a while now.
I haven't started yet, if you,
yeah, I mean, if you want to get something out of your system, I suppose you can in the next 5 minutes. If Stokes is gone, which it seems like he is, at least from the captaincy, hopefully he doesn't retire from Test cricket altogether, but we shall know soon enough. Who takes over? Because Harry Brooke does not seem like the ideal candidate to me. That seems like a massive downgrade, both with respect to discipline, tactics, general cricket acumen. I don't want to sound like a dickhead over here, but you know what I'm trying to
say. It can't be Brooke. Okay? Yeah. It can't be because he not only did what he did in Wellington, he then immediately lied about it. That was his first instinct, was to come out and lie. They then spun it that was protecting everybody else, his lies, but that is not the action of the captain. Captain doesn't do that. Doesn't A, do the bad thing, and doesn't B, then lie about it, right? So you cannot make him captain when he has just done all the stuff that you're binning Stokes' captaincy off for, right? So that can't happen. The only correct answer right now is give it to Root for a bit. I know he won't want it, but the only correct answer is give it to Root for a bit and just calm it down, just for a bit. End of the summer, right? There's the rest of this series. Then Captain Chaos and his mates come to town, right? Pakistan, we've got to play. Stuff will happen during that series, won't it? Because it can't not with
Pakistan. Pakistan will have a scandal of their own.
They'll bring scandals with them, and they will encourage England to outscandal them. It will be fun. Let Root, who also has had his issues where Warner punched him in the face as a young man, but crucially with Joe Root. Now, I've heard stories about Joe Root from people that I know that know him, where he did do things in his youth that he wouldn't be overly proud of. And God knows, so did I. And so is everybody, right? I've done stuff in their youth that they're not proud of. But crucially with Joe Root.
Sam Curran. Make Sam Curran captain.
Shut up, man. Crucially, Joe Root learned from his mistakes. And he decided that when everybody else was going on holiday in Australia during the Ashes, he rented a place and brought his family over and chilled out with his wife and kids, right? That's what Joe Root decided to do. He also scored 100 on that series in that series for the first time, didn't he, away? And so
twice.
Multiple hundreds in that series. So you could say that decision was justified. He's obviously a bit older. He has learned from you know, the impetuousness of youth. Stokes very clearly hasn't. So give Root the captaincy right now. Don't contemplate anybody else. The only other route you could go down is by massively backing a young person, like a, and probably someone that doesn't warrant their place in the side. There's only one young person that should be in the team every time at the moment, and that's Bethel, following his majestic innings at the end of the Ashes. It was superb. But, and this is not having a go at Bethel by any stretch of the imagination, he was one of the ones who was out on the lash trying to, as any 21-year-old kid would have been, particularly one with the long blonde hair, would have been out trying to chat birds up when everybody else was out. Okay, that's not having a go at him. But should he be England captain now? No, he shouldn't.
As someone who's such a big Jamie Smith advocate, I'm surprised you didn't name him. But how about they bring Ollie Pope back?
No. And the thing is, Root has been the captain, and we know he's an uninspiring captain in terms of aggression on the field. But what he is, and he learned from many years of Alistair Cook, safe pair of hands. Alistair Cook will not be sparked out in a nightclub, nor will he spark somebody else out. And despite having one of the best chins I've ever seen for boxing, Alistair Cook, he doesn't take part of that in his spare time because he wants to spend time with his family and to look after his farm and all that sort of thing. So whilst he was a dull captain, Alistair Cook, he was a magnificent run scorer who got the absolute best out of his ability. Whereas Stokes has been unable to get the most out of his ability throughout his career because he has missed a World Cup because he smashed his hand through a locker because he was angry, and he missed an Ashes series, an ODI series and multiple ODIs because he was either on trial for smacking people in the face or he was in the process of doing it or he was suspended pending his trial, et cetera, right? So he has not been able to get the best out of him. What England need now when we are in a period of transition is to get these youngsters led by a leader of men, not necessarily the best cricketer, not necessarily the best tactical captain, just somebody that can show them the right path. Because otherwise, this chaos of McCullum and Key and ultimately Gould, right, who gets a pass through all this. No, he never says anything to anybody. The chaos will continue, and it can't, because as you said earlier, with Botham, it was absolutely what everybody did then, and he's always been a legend of English cricket. With Flintoff, it was funny. And he did not get the most out of him because we all saw what Flintoff looked like 2 years post-retirement compared to what he looked like when he was playing. It was a different physical specimen, but you know, by the time he sorted his shit out, it was too late as far as his body goes. And now we have Stokes, who, sorry to the PR team, has come across appallingly badly across all of these events. And the fact that they are continuing when he is 35 years of age and captain of England means it's time for the armband to go to somebody else. Just give it to Root to chill everybody out for a couple of months and then come up with a proper plan, get rid of the people that are in charge of this ship that is sinking, put some new people in. I need Owen Morgan in my life because he does understand gambling. He's a very good gambler. He does understand tactics. He also, as we saw with the Alex Hales situation, knows where the line is. And if somebody oversteps the line, he is not afraid to come down on them. They need that because at the moment, all that they've seen, right, 30 grand's a lot of money to most people. But if you've played in the IPL, as Harry Brook has, and if you have been on the franchise circuit, played the 100 and played for England as a centrally contracted player, it is like fining me and you a tenner. So he did get fined, Harry Brook, but no way do any of this current lot think that any of the sanctions or punishments that they will get will have any impact on their cricket. They can still continue to have a good time because McCullum and Key want them to have a good time. And their behaviour, which isn't good enough for pro sportsmen in 2026, has been encouraged and allowed, and they've been given loads of passes. I am as sure as I am that I am overweight, that they have covered up loads of things, this lot. So now is the time
I think McCullum is on record saying that every time Zach Crawley fails, we gift him with a cigar and whiskey, right? Because that was the culture, right? Yeah. I don't know how to kind of end this show because there's always going to be stuff that remains unsaid. But there is a super chat by Gyanded who says, England have turned me off booze more than any ad. So relevant. I hear you. And let's see how this story now transpires, whether or not Ben Stokes retires from international cricket altogether, whether he takes a break, if he ever comes back. Surely, though, from what we're hearing, Allegedly, he won't remain as England's test skipper. You guys leave your thoughts in the comment section below. Who do you think should replace him, if he should be replaced at all or not, and how you view this entire situation. Thank you for your time, Rob. It's always a pleasure. I think this was the need of the hour. We really needed to get our thoughts out on Nightclub Gate, because it's not the first Nightclub Gate. That's what I'll continue to repeat.
This will not be the end of it.
Anyway.
But it's the end
all
of
right then, everyone. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe, and follow Combox everywhere. We will be back with more and more regular content on the daily, so keep an eye out on the channel. Tell your friends, and yeah, let's see how things go for Ben Stokes in England here on. Till then, have a good one, take care, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Rukshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.